Now, please remain standing, brothers and sisters, as we read from God's Word this morning. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and this morning, the first four verses. Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. Let us now read this beautiful pericope of the life of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And all of God's people said together, "Amen." Amen. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. What a beautiful story. I never get tired of reading the Gospels. We need to come back these stories, these little, we call them pericopes, in the Gospels again and again. Go with a pericope every day. Take a Gospel story with you every day. Because this is the picture of God on earth. This is God with us. Remember, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He acts as God would act because He is God. And He is with us and He walked with us for those years that he was in Galilee and in Judea for those 3 years of his ministry that are recorded for us in the Gospels. Well, this is a very touching story in more ways than one. And we're going to come back to the touch of Christ towards the end today. But what a poignant story. What a powerful story. A very relevant story for all of us. I think it applies now. I was tempted to go back to our regular series of studies, but because of the present crisis, it seemed to me that the Lord was speaking to us strongly through the ministry of Jesus when he dealt with the diseased. And I feel we need to come back to how Jesus looked at this disease. And these stories, of course, very powerful and gripping. And this one more so, I think, than some of the others because of the direct relationship that Jesus had, though just in a moment. A very significant moment, a poignant moment. So let's watch the scene carefully today. Let's watch what happens in this scene contained in Matthew chapter 8. The leper kneeling before Jesus. Can you see him there? The leper is kneeling before our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. But let's talk about disease first. Before we get to this, well, everybody's talking about disease. So let's just talk about disease a little bit before we get into this morning. It's consuming 99% of news coverage, as you know, and everybody's talking about it. I made my pilgrimage to the grocery store this week, and there are three people in our county out of 30,000 with the dreaded disease, and everybody's very sensitive. Everybody's sure to be at 6, 8, 10 feet away from anybody else. Somebody sneezes, everybody's running for the door. There's just this heightened sense of the dreaded disease that just is everywhere. So you all know what this is about because you're experiencing it yourself in your workplace, in your homes, your neighborhoods, down at the store. So let's talk about disease for a moment. There are 13,000 diseases in the world, common diseases. Somebody said there's probably closer to 100,000 diseases in the world. But there are 13,000 different common diseases in the world. So if you're thinking there's only one disease, there's only one bacterium that could affect me, or one virus that could affect me, no, there's far more than one. There's another 12,999 diseases to be concerned with. So 13,000 diseases that are afflicting mankind on a fairly common basis today. And last month, there were 20,000 deaths by influenza. 20,000 deaths by influenza. 90,000 deaths by malaria, 100,000 deaths by tuberculosis. Now, you know, the news is giving you the numbers, 1,000 deaths. We just topped 200 in New York City, or, you know, there's 200 is 1,000. They're forgetting about the 100,000 who died of HIV/AIDS last month. And 500,000 who've died of upper and lower respiratory diseases in the last month. And, of course, the 30,000 who have died of coronavirus COVID-19. Yes, disease is an issue. Absolutely. 90% of us will probably die by disease. 90% of you will die by one of the 13,000 diseases that afflict mankind. 6% will die by accident and natural disaster, 3% by violence, and 1% by congenital problems. So we will die. We will see death. By disease, brothers and sisters, disease is an issue. And it's becoming more of an issue in the minds of the populace these days. Disease is a terrible thing. We dread it. Personally, I'll just say personally, I am not good with pain. My wife will substantiate that. I'm loud. I cry, I screech, I moan through every disease I have. And probably the biggest fear in my life is throwing up. I just say it. I'm sorry. But I think we're all dreading disease. We don't like it. It's a terrible thing. Of course, it's a cause of the curse. It's effect of the fall of mankind in the garden. So we know that. Disease causes pain. It causes agony. It causes depression. It's generating panic, fear, hopelessness, even despair. Disease hamstrings economies. Maybe one reason why Africa can't get off the dime. Economically, malaria, too big of a challenge for them. In this case, it's bringing a world economy to its knees. No question about it, brothers and sisters, disease is a problem. But disease is not the problem. You see, I think people are trying to ignore the real issue. And this is what we always do. We always cover up the real issue with the more superficial issue. And that's what the Word is going to give us this morning. And we need to press people at this time. Why are you so concerned about disease? And of course, the primary concern is death. As our brother preached several weeks ago, it is the fear of death is the constant pall that hangs over every single fallen son and daughter of Adam. So death, separation from God, the judgment of Almighty God, the eternality of the soul. Not just fearing the one who can destroy the body, but he who can destroy the body and soul in hellfire forever and ever. This is the one to fear. So disease brings out the more significant problems. We're not just concerned about the rash. We're concerned about dying. We're concerned about bigger issues, the judgment day at the end, that all of us must face at the end. These are the bigger issues, and disease is only a symptom of these bigger issues. So let's come back to the story. Only two things this morning from the story. I don't have notes for you because it's a very simple message this morning just to see what is going on here in Matthew chapter 8, this beautiful account of the healing of the leper on the part of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Two things. Number one, we want to look at the leper. And number two, we want to look at Jesus. So let's look at the leper in this account. Who is this guy? What's his problem? What's his position as he comes before Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Creator, the Lord, the Redeemer, the Healer, the Resurrector, passing by at the moment? His one opportunity to meet Jesus, the Creator of the universe, the one who resurrects the dead and heals the sick. This man comes before Jesus, and the first thing that we need to note about this man is he has a disease. This man is diseased. He doesn't have the coronavirus. He's got leprosy. It's probably worse than the coronavirus. It's hard to know exactly what it was. There's a lot of debate amongst theologians about what leprosy, the biblical leprosy, consisted of. Was it the modern day Hansen's disease, what we refer to as leprosy today, or was it some other skin disease resulting from a mold? It's either a bacterium or a mold. We don't know which one. Could be either one. Now, I would suggest to you that it was Hansen's disease. It was leprosy, the common disease we know today as leprosy. The Greek word in the Septuagint implies a skin disease that spreads over the whole body. Now, in my review of black mold and the effects of mold on the human body, I don't see it representing anything close to what Hansen's disease does to a body. So I come back to Hansen's disease again and again as the skin disease that spreads over the entire body and is described in Scripture in this way. The disease was really bad. Kids, this was bad. You've had the flu, or you've had a cold or a cough or the whooping cough, or you've had something like this, children, but you haven't had leprosy. Leprosy was very bad. It was chronic, that is, it went on and on. You didn't get over it. You can get over a cold, you can get over the flu, but you can't get over leprosy. It was chronic. It went on and on. It was a death sentence upon someone's life. And the person who had it was ugly. He was socially repulsive. He was isolated. And it was a lifelong illness. The disease causes severe neuropathic pain. Now, it is true, it deadens the nerves. But before it deadens the nerves, leprosy would attack in a sharp and intense neuropathic pain on the victim who had it. It is slow growing, that is, it creeps into your body. So it was a horrific, horror, nightmarish disease that came upon these men and women that were afflicted by this leprosy. In fact, this modern Hansen's disease finally found something of an effective treatment in 1981. So now we have something of a treatment. Now, it doesn't help everybody, but it helps people, especially in the initial stages of the disease. So by God's grace, there has been something of a cure for leprosy as of 1981. But to this day, if, you know, you're trying to scare somebody with pictures from medical manuals, the pictures of those afflicted by leprosy are probably the most horrific you can find. The disease deadens the nerves, as I said, so one may be aware of what is happening, but it can't feel the true condition of his body as it slowly disintegrates day by day, month by month, and year by year. Portions of a man's face or a woman's face begin to erode. His hands and feet become stubs. He becomes all twisted. I believe I saw a leper on the street, a beggar in Nepal, to whom I provided some respite, some monetary respite for him. But leprosy is a terrible, terrible disease. In the Old Testament, leprosy was considered as the judgment of God. For Uzziah the king, you remember he was afflicted by it. God judged Miriam for a time with leprosy. So there are some insights into leprosy in the Old Testament, which I just quickly draw for you. Listen to Numbers 12 and verse 12. I think this is very helpful. Leprosy was a picture of the living dead. Listen to what Aaron called it in Numbers 12 and verse 12, describing the leper, that is Miriam, his sister. Here's what Aaron said. The leper is as one dead, he said, as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. That is, leprosy is the picture of the living dead, the walking dead. And I don't want anybody watching these horror movies, but we've seen the pictures of them, the walking dead, the living dead, in which I believe the pictures were taken probably from victims of leprosy. Because of the horrific nature of the disease, especially in this disfigurement of those who are afflicted by it. So, brothers and sisters, it was a truly horrible, horrible thing. The makeup artists in these movies, they try to describe it. But what is this thing? It is a picture of an internal reality. The external is a picture of the internal reality. So, again, the Old Testament is so much of a picture book. Think of the Old Testament as a picture book. It displays what is going on inside of us. It describes the spiritual realities in an external way. You think about the bondage in Egypt and the wonderful deliverance and redemption of God's people out of this great, powerful, enslaving empire of Egypt. And friends, that is what happens when we are set free from the bondage of the devil and our sin. See, again, we need a picture book. I think all of us need it. Don't throw away your Old Testaments. You need it. We need it. We need to see it. We need to see these things in living color. And that's what the Old Testament gives to us. Leviticus chapter 13, in verse 43. Let's just spend a time here in Leviticus chapter 13, where it's described as something very unclean. Listen to Leviticus 13, 43. Again, speaking of leprosy, the priest comes, he examines the person who is afflicted by this disease or exhibits some symptoms. So the priest is coming to examine the symptoms of the man who may or may not have the disease. Verse 43 of Leviticus 13 examines it, and indeed if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. So there it is. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare, he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. This man, if any is to come close to him, is to inform others that he is unclean, is to cry it out, I'm unclean, unclean. All the days he has a sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. So, this is a man, this is the picture of the man who is contaminated. We know what this is like. We know what it is to quarantine somebody. We know when somebody has coronavirus. Nobody wants to come within 6 miles of them. Except maybe one of our families, a mother and a father, who sticks the meal outside of the bedroom, you know, and the afflicted, the poor afflicted one comes and receives it, and then he puts his dirty dishes outside of the door. And so we know what it's like for somebody to be contaminated, unclean with these diseases. And that was the leper. He has a very ugly bacteria attached to his body, running through his bloodstream, embedded in his very soul. His cells, and he is contagious to boot, and that makes it hard. The leper is recognized by everybody around him as unclean, contaminated. And he's ugly. And this disease was unusual in that a lot of diseases, you don't know for sure that somebody has it. They may have a fever, but they're not really flushed, and so they're walking around. They're not really exhibiting the obvious signs or symptoms of their illness in the presence of other people, but leprosy was not like that. Leprosy, you had it. It was ugly. It was manifest. It was out for everybody to see, and everybody could look and see, this guy's ugly. His disease is displayed on the outside. And people recoil in horror. And nobody wants to touch him. Nobody. I remember as a little boy on the streets of Japan, there was a man who had gigantic sores on his face. Still remember this day. I must have been 7, 8, 9 years of age, and I'd seen this guy probably 20 or 30 times. I mean, seen him in my neighborhood over and over again. He was repulsive. Now, as I look back, my heart goes out to him, you know. But as a little boy, I just thought, I mean, it may have been leprosy, just disfiguring his face. And it was just horrific. And I would, you know, turn my bike around and speed away as fast as my little legs could take me, because here's this monster of a man displaying some ugly disease on his face. Repulsive, contagious. Nobody wants to come close. Nobody wants to touch him. That's the picture here. He is ceremonially unclean, unholy, and he must stay away from the worship of God. Listen to Leviticus 11, 45. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy as I am holy. This is the law. The law of the animals, the birds, every living creature that moves in the waters, of every creature that creeps on the earth, to distinguish between the clean and the unclean, between the animal that may be eaten and that which may not be eaten. So this is the beginning of the cleanliness laws, in which we go through the list of the unclean, the clean animals, and then eventually we get to leprosy two chapters later. But the point is that God is holy. God can't be around the contaminated. God can't be with the unclean. God is holy. And He wants His people to be holy. But now let's go to the New Testament. Matthew 15. You can turn there if you want to. I just want to refer to that briefly. See, leprosy and the cleanliness of our hands, the cleanliness of our physical body, is an external picture for the lack of cleanliness of our body. Leprosy and other things like this are listed in the Old Testament, were a picture, an external picture of the internal reality of the human soul, of the foul condition of the human soul. And the Pharisees didn't get it. You know, the Old Testament's a picture book. A picture book we give ourselves, we give our children. And they sat and they read the picture book and they looked at the pictures and they went through the medical manuals in the Old Testament of what the ugly sores looked like with leprosy, and they went, ew. 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 It was a picture book, but they didn't get it. The Pharisees didn't get it. And this is the point Jesus is driving home here. The merely outwardly religious man is always concerned about the coronavirus. Always concerned about cleanliness. Always concerned about touch not, taste not, handle not. He is primarily concerned with the food laws. Hyper concerned about diseases, bacteria, viruses, and molds. The things that enter into a man from the outside. But what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 15? Look at verse 16. Now the Pharisees were offended by the disciples because they didn't wash their hands and use enough Purell hand sanitizer before they came into the temple or before they came into church on Sunday. So they're all fit to be tied over the failure of the disciples to meet the restrictions laid out by the CDC. But what does Jesus say? Our Lord is very distraught at points at the total miss on the part of the Pharisees. And they missed it was a total nothing burger when it came to their faith. They didn't get it. They lost it. They lost the message. But what does Jesus tell us? What does our Lord say in verse 16 of Matthew 15? He says, are you still, speaking to His disciples here, are you still without understanding? Don't you understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. You see, the Pharisees refused to take the symbol for what it really meant. They lost the significance of it. And I think this gives us tremendous insight into ourselves. Just for a minute, let's not just blame the Pharisees. Let's talk about ourselves for a moment. Where are we with this? Somebody coughs coronavirus all over the house. They eat unclean carrots that haven't been washed. Allow the dog to lick the plates, and they stick the plates back into the cupboard. These are problems, yes. there are physical ramifications of violating our cleanliness rules. We understand that. But friends, there's something 100,000 times worse than that. It is the foul disease of the soul. Oh, we are afflicted by this. The heart, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. The heart of man, soaking in menstrual rags. Disgusting, contagious, contaminated, horrible. With the leprosy that shows on the outside, that bubbles out into sores on the outside of our bodies as well, as the prophet gives us in Isaiah chapter 1. Friends, the heart is full of mold and bacteria and every virus that you can imagine. It pours out through the mouth, through the words that we communicate. It pours out in sexual sin and lies and blasphemies and murder and gossip, slander, evil thoughts. This is what we should be concerned with. These are the spiritual realities that matter. Where are you with this? If your coworker has COVID-19, he's coughing and sneezing on the desk just over your cubicle. There he is, just hacking up along. You're a little uncomfortable. You complain to the manager. You get the heebie-jeebies and you want to get a shower when you come home. There's a contagiousness about sin that's far worse than all this coronavirus stuff. Sin is the problem. Evil communications corrupt good manners, as the Apostle Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 15. Let me just give you a couple of examples. You watch Hollywood movies, listen to your civil leaders, and they begin to take God's name in vain, or they say, to hell with that. Or they'll say, damn this, or God damn this, or God damn that. And what is this? This is usurping the right of God. It's His judgment. It's His right to judge. Not ours. It's human pride. Now, they look cool when they say it. Before you know it, Christians are borrowing from these things. Christians are using some of the more defiled language to describe feces or likening everything to a feces. They're borrowing from the world. The world is corrupting their thinking and their language. Or you get the Proverbs 7 woman, the actresses engaging in loose forms of sexuality and immodesty. And before you know it, the boys, after they've watched their R-rated movies, are watching more pornography. Or Christian women are given to more looseness in their mannerisms and their dress. This is contagion. This is worse than the coronavirus. This is the sinful lust and pride of the world that oozes into our houses. And the Apostle Paul says, flee it. Run from it. Get out of the store. Get out of the house. Go take a shower. And you know, I mean, you know that sin is contagious. It just is. People get angry in the same room. Voices rise. One person's voice rises in the conversation. What happens to the other person? What happens? Typically, what happens? About 90 times out of 100, there's exceptions to the rule, but what typically happens? Somebody's angry. What happens to the next person? They're angry now. And somebody's anxious. Somebody's fearful. Somebody's fearing man. Somebody's fearing disease and all these other things. Before you know it, the whole room's filled with all this anxiety. This lack of trust in God. This sin virus is 100 times worse than the corona thing. And people are so petrified and mortified at the idea of some guy with COVID-19 sneezing all over everybody. But what about all the mold and the leaven, the viruses and the bacteria that pours out of the world, the flesh and the devil? What about that? Come on, what is our focus? What is the thing that concerns us more than everything else? What's your worldview? What are the things that matter to us more than anything else? So let me ask you, are you a Pharisee? Are you super concerned about the physical virus? The sneezing into your hand or into your leg or the sole of your foot or whatever it is? What do you talk about? Where does the conversation go? Does it always revert back to COVID-19? Or does it go to Exodus 19 and 20? This leprosy is a picture of sin. It's corrupting. It consumes the soul. It just like leprosy, it eats out. The idea of the corruption, the idea of corruption, when rust corrupts an old car sitting in the back 40, what happens over time? When rust corrupts the Model T Ford in the back 40, what happens over time? It eats it out. After a while, it's gaping holes in all the fenders. Friends, that's what leprosy does. That's what sin does. It eats us out. It eats out the ears of our soul. It eats out the nose of our soul. It eats out the legs and the hands of our souls. It's corrupting. It's horrible. And by nature, we have the leprosy of the soul. We are the walking dead. We have a lost sense of the deadliness, the corruption, the evil of this virus called sin that consumes and consumes and consumes and drags us down to the grave. Let's look at the leper one more time. Verses 1 and 2. This poor leper comes to Jesus. And I want you to watch him. Oh, what a great picture. Oh, this is it, brothers and sisters. This is me. This is you. This is us. This is our position. This is great. We identify with him. This is it. This is where we stand. This is where we kneel. Look what he does. He comes to Jesus in humility and faith both. I love the combination here. Watch him. Watch him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." I love this. Now watch the language here. What does he say? Well, first he kneels, and that's a position of humility. Kneels down in front of Jesus. Jesus is walking by. He comes and he kneels down in front of Jesus. And he pleads with him. He asks him. He appeals to him. He requests of him this thing. But he says this, "If you are willing, you are able to make me clean. If you are willing, if you desire it, if you want to." So on the one hand, he says, "If you want to," and then he says, "You are able. You have the power." The word is dunamis. You have the dunamis. You have the power to accomplish this. I know it, Jesus. If you want to, you have the power to do it. So in humility, he says, "You want to do it." In faith, he says, "You have the power to do it." You see that beautiful combination right there in this poor leper. What he's saying is, "I don't deserve this. I'm not telling you to do this. But I am completely confident that you are able to do this. If you want to, Jesus, you can make me clean. You are absolutely sovereign. Now, I am in so much need. But I am completely cast down upon your mercy." So no question about his power. No question about his sovereignty. No question that Jesus can choose to do this to anybody, anywhere, at any time. Humility, faith in Jesus. And brothers and sisters, we are these lepers. We are helpless. We can't do anything about the heart problem in our own lives. We come before Jesus. We say, "Jesus, we are helpless.
We are on our knees before Him. Put yourself in this man's place. We are helpless. We are undone. I'm a mess. I am filthy. I am lost. I am dead. I have a communicable disease. I am contagious. I have a deadly disease. I am the walking dead. There is no hope for me in modern medicine. There is nothing in this universe that can help me. I have the sentence of death. No, wait. I have the sentence of eternal death upon my soul. Oh, Jesus, come and help me. But there's one thing I know. And there is one person in the whole universe that can help me. And He is walking by right now. There is one Savior. There is one doctor. There is one power. And that is You, Jesus. You are able to do this. You are a million times over capable of healing me right here and right now. You can heal me every whit of this contaminating, wretched, despised, and dreaded disease. I love the lyrics. He is able. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. Don't you love this song? Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Oh, that's us. That describes us perfectly. That's me to a T. Oh, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready, waits to save you. Full of pity, love and power. He is able. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. Doubt no more. Come ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and broken by the fall. Here, this is the best part ever. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Brothers and sisters, is a leper going to say, well, I'm going to wait till I'm better, and then I'm going to call on Jesus? Is that what he says? No, he's got a shot at it. The healer is right there. He cries out to Jesus as Jesus is walking by. Let me ask you this. If you had leprosy, and Jesus was walking by, would you call out to Him? If you were blind, and Jesus was walking by. You were born blind all your life. You were blind. And all these people are following Jesus. And He's walking by. And someone says, the great healer is coming by. He's coming by you, perhaps the only time in your life. What are you going to do? Cry out to Him. Jesus, Thou Son of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Jesus, Thou Son of Nazareth, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. That's what we would do. We'd cry out to Him. So, brothers and sisters, there comes a point in your life at which you realize you are the leper. You are the beggar. You are the blind man. And you know this is your only chance. And you know that Jesus is the only Savior. And you put aside all your inhibitions. And you cry out to Jesus. And you say, Jesus, I am lepers. I am undone. I need Your salvation. I need Your cleansing. I need it now. Well, Jesus is walking by now. Did you know that? He's still coming by. There He is now. Brothers and sisters, we open our arms, we put out our hands, we say, come Jesus to us. Render Your mercy to us. Then look at the response of Jesus. It's beautiful. Now we behold our God as Jesus responds. Now remember, the Gospels are there to set up the scenario in which God responds. Here's a leper on his knees. What does God do? Here is you on your knees this morning. What is God going to do? Here are you crying out for mercy upon yourself this morning. What do you think God's going to do? Here's the insight. Here is Jesus responding. Right here, right now. Jesus is passing by now. You're crying out for mercy now. What do you think Jesus is going to do? Well, this is powerful. It is powerful. He reached out
and touched him. No gloves, no mask, and no hazmat suit. It was the most horrific thing anybody could do, to touch somebody with Ebola or somebody with a contaminant of sin upon them. He touched them. It's here in Scripture. He reached out and touched him. He didn't bump into him. Wasn't an accident. He didn't have to touch him. He'd already healed people at 25 miles distance. He didn't need to touch him. But he did. He intentionally touched the man. But you say, what about Leviticus 5, verse 3? If anyone touches human uncleanness, whatever the uncleanness, which with a man may be defiled, he is guilty. Ceremonially defiled. Did Jesus violate Leviticus 5:3? No. He fulfilled the law. Absolutely. The impurity did not make Jesus impure. The disease did not contaminate him. The purity of Jesus purified the impure. That's what happened. So by the time he touched the man was cleansed. He touched a leper. But brothers and sisters, he did more than that. He entered our world. The holy, uncontaminated, undefiled Lamb of God. On the right hand of the Father, with the Father from all eternity, the holiest with the holiest from all eternity comes to earth. And enters the womb of a sinful woman. He comes into our sinful world to take away the sin of the world. He became sin for us. He became, as it were, a leper for us. The leprosy of us was pasted on him that we would become the righteousness of God. We met a man in Nepal from Germany. And we were so impressed with him. He was a single Christian man in the 60s who had dedicated his life to serve the lepers in Laos. They were the most despised lepers in the world. This man confessed a simple faith in Jesus Christ. I never asked his denomination. I really didn't care. He had worked in India, but eventually wound up in Laos because the Laotian lepers were the most despised in the world. Abandoned by everybody, persecuted by their own governments. This man himself living with the leper, touching them, binding up their sores. Over the last 7 years, all by himself, he was persecuted by the state too for his service to the lepers. He was put in prisons. His house was confiscated. and he continued to serve the lepers. We were so impressed by this man. His involvement. His compassion. I have never seen so much mercy. I have never seen a more loving man in all of my experience, in all of my life. He was so gentle and so simple and so tender when he spoke of his lepers. What a testimony. He had no money, only that which his sister would send him from time to time. Nobody knows of his ministry. The clean living with the unclean. The pure with the impure. Now, let's talk about Jesus. What is the clean doing with the unclean? He dedicated his life to live with us lepers. To heal us. To take our leprosy upon himself. On the cross. And then he shed his own blood on the cross so that he would have the medicine necessary to cleanse us of our leprosy. He cleansed us with his own blood shed on the cross by his own death. So listen to his words to the leper. The man said, "If you're willing, you are able to make me clean." And Jesus said, "Yes, I am willing. That's why I came. Yes, yes. You know he is able. You know he is willing. Doubt no more. Just ask him and he will cleanse you, because that's why he came. To live with us and to die for us. Lepers." His power is so much more powerful than the power of our leprosy. His cleansing force overcomes the power of the virus. And we know that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are the beggars, we are the lepers. And Jesus is the physician. Jesus is the great doctor of souls. And today we cry out to you as the beggar, the leper. We cry out, "Oh Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And we know you are able. We know you are willing. Father, we come before you and we plead the merits of Christ's blood today. We rejoice in his love for us. We rejoice in your love for us to send your Son to us lepers, that he would give up his life, that he would cleanse us by his very blood. Our souls are so filled with joy and gratitude for the love of God. Oh, we're so thankful for those who minister to lepers in Laos, that God, you minister to sinners on this earth. And you cleanse the big disease of sin for us. Thank you. Thank you. Praise your name, Jesus. We praise your name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to you be all the praise and the glory. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to us. Thank you, Jesus, for touching us sinners. And Jesus, you became sin for us, that we would be the righteousness of God forever. Thank you and praise you, Jesus. Thank you and praise you, Holy Spirit. Amen.